Praised be Jesus and Mary. Saint Elizabeth of Hungary was the daughter of Andrew II, the just and pious king of Hungary. She was the niece of Saint Hedwig and the sister of the virtuous Bela IV, king of Hungary, who became the father of Saint Cunegundus and of Saint Margaret of Hungary, a Dominican nun, a family of saints. Another of her brothers was Colman, the king of Galicia and prince of Russia. He led a very holy life amid the many affairs of the world and troubles of war. And as a child, Elizabeth was so lovable that a wealthy lord, a landgrave, sought her as the bride of his eldest son, Louis. And his request was granted, and there was a solemn delegation that was sent to get Elizabeth. And at that time, she was only 3 years old. And they did this so that she could be raised in the castle of her future husband. And the two children, they loved each other like brother and sister. They vied with each other in acts of piety and charity. And those who witnessed Elizabeth at prayer were quite edified. Her greatest joy was to give things to the poor. And when she grew a little older, she visited the poor and the sick, waited on them with as much reverence as if they were our Lord Jesus. And you can see why the church picked today's readings, St. John pointing out how necessary it is to be charitable and not to refuse anyone in need. And the gospel, how our Lord's admonishing us to do good even to our enemies and to give to people not expecting to get anything back. And although her behavior did not edify her mother-in-law, she was very displeased with Elizabeth's conduct. She endeavored to talk her son into sending Elizabeth back to Hungary and choosing a bride that would be more princely in worldly ways, I suppose. But Louis was aware of the treasure he possessed in Elizabeth. And succeeding his father at age 18, he took over the government and married Elizabeth. Their marriage was very happy. And Louis gave his wife full liberty to do all the good that her heart desired. And at Eisenach, Elizabeth built a large hospital, and during a famine, she daily fed 900 needy people. And the story's told once that when she was on her way with her cloak full of goods for the poor and for the sick, she met her husband, who teasingly, blocked her way, and until she would show him, what she was carrying away this time. And he was astonished, to say the least, when he beheld the fresh and fragrant fragrant roses amid the, you know, in midwinter. So he reverently permitted her to go on her charitable way. And when Louis was away, he would give Elizabeth the duty of the regency. And, you know, she did this with great prudence and care. Whatever spare time she had, she would spend on the poor and the sick, especially the lepers. It's related that once she took a little leper boy whom no one cared to have about, and after caring for him as if he were her own child, she placed him in the royal bed. But Louis returned unexpectedly at this time, and the angry mother-in-law ran down to tell him what Elizabeth had done and how she would surely cause him to be infected. So quite stirred, you know, Louis went to the bed and tore aside the covers, and he was amazed and moved to tears when he beheld the form of the crucified laying there. And turning to his wife, he said, "Dear Elizabeth, you know, you may always receive guests like that. I shall even thank you for it." But Elizabeth, too, was to be tried in the crucible of suffering. Emperor Frederick II set out on a crusade to the Holy Land in 1227, and Elizabeth's husband joined the expedition, but he died on the way in southern Italy. So when the news reached the castle of Louis's brothers rose up against Elizabeth, and she was driven out of the palace with two faithful maids that went with her. And her children, the youngest, scarcely 2 months old, it was midwinter and night was at hand, and the people of the town were afraid to give her any shelter, you know, fearing the resentment of their new masters. There was a man who finally offered her shelter in a stable, and grateful for this kindness, Elizabeth thought of how the Son of God, you know, on coming down from heaven, was refused admittance at all the doors of Bethlehem. And they found refuge in a stable. And this thought, you know, filled her with greater joy than she'd ever experienced at the palace. So at midnight, when the bells of the nearby Franciscan friary, which she had built, you know, announced the chanting of the divine office, she went and begged the friars to sing the Te Deum, you know, in thanksgiving for this favor that she and her children were made like Jesus. So with her faithful servants, Elizabeth, you know, arranged things the best she could. She spun flax for her livelihood, saving something from her meager earned income, you know, to give to the poor. And later, Elizabeth was reinstated in the Wartburg, and Emperor Frederick II, whose wife had died, he asked her hand in marriage, but Elizabeth had already learned to love poverty so much and seclusion that she had no desire, you know, for worldly greatness. Her children were given the education of princes, but she and her two maids repaired to a small house near the Franciscan church in Marburg. Elizabeth had joined the Third Order of St. Francis during the lifetime of her husband. In fact, she was the first member in Germany. She received a message from St. Francis himself, and now vested with the habit and the cord, she led a quiet religious life, you know, meanwhile nursing the sick in the hospitals and submitting her whole life to the direction of the learned and devout Friar Conrad. There's a note written by him to the Holy Father concerning Elizabeth and her holy death, and that's found in the second reading for the Office of Readings today. Our Lord announced to her that she would soon be called to heaven. And she told her father confessor, who had fallen seriously ill, that he would recover, but that she would soon die. And within 4 days, she became ill and was prepared, you know, for her final hour by her confessor, who had recovered. Elizabeth was admitted into heaven on November 19th, 1231, and she was only 24 years old. So the miracles that took place at her tomb were so numerous that Pope Gregory the Ninth canonized her already in 1235, just 3 or 4 years after her death. And she's the special patroness of the sisters of the Third Order Secular of St. Francis, and also some religious sisterhoods of the Third Order Regular. Pope Leo XIII placed her, placed all charitable organizations of women under her patronage, and were privileged to have a first-class relic of St. Elizabeth and also St. Louis, who's the patron of the men of the Third Order Secular of St. Francis. So we'll have the opportunity to venerate them right after Mass before the recessional hymn.